moments in prayer that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes. Sometimes when I'm studying this, what is so encouraging to keep on doing it and not just rush this thing through is every day when I open up my paper and go through it, the Today section in the Dallas Morning News, and there are about four or five different people now, two ladies and, well, actually three ladies, couple of men, and they have these articles on where people write in with all the problems. And I've gotten to where I like to read through the family problems, the marriage problems, parents with children, work problems, problems that people have with one another that make life very uncomfortable, that make life miserable. It's amazing to me the number of people that do want to make life miserable for other people. They seem to go out of their way to do it, to hurt other people and control. And as I read through, I read through with spiritual love in mind and what the Spirit will do if we're walking in the Spirit. And whenever I get a chance to go into bookstores, do the same thing. Go through all of the Christian books and you know, dealing with one another. And you've got all kinds of things from books from the perspective of man and woman. You know, women are this way and men are that way because they're men, because they're women. You got a lot of books written with the idea of personalities to solve the problems and deal with it that way. And people, the spiritual life doesn't take into consideration all of those things of the flesh. It empowers, he empowers the man and woman. He empowers all personalities. I'm not saying that in a cosmic worldview that there are people who are different. You can put people in different tabs. Those things are really interesting to read. Well, where do I fit in? Ooh, I don't like that about me, but that's me, and all that kind of stuff. But what is that going to do about it? You know, some people say, well, I'm this kind of person, and that's just the way I am. No, God has given us something, and what that does, that excuses the way I treat other people. Well, I'm this kind of person. And I'm this kind of person. And you're just going to have to get used to it. No, that because I'm this kind of personality by genetic flow doesn't mean the other person is just going to have to learn to put up with that. Because God has given us something that's more powerful than sex, our personality, and all these kinds of things. And what God has given to us that overcomes whether you're male or female, whether you're this kind of personality or that kind of personality, is the power of the Spirit. And what we're doing right now is looking through a list that's taken from the word one another. But it is not some kind of a law list. This is not something that I want you to get into your mind, well, I got to think about these things and always do them. No, like so many other things, like 1 Corinthians 13. We're not studying the impact of spiritual love so that you can have a list and try to make those things happen. They are simply given so that you can look at it, these things, and be aware of the leading of the Spirit in human relationships, what He will do. So, again, the human relationship problems that people have in families and marriages and children and with neighbors and I mean the thousands of things that come up into our lives every day in dealing with other people and one another is answered in the spiritual life and spiritual love. So let me ask you before we even get into this, did y'all bring in your list, these things? Anybody not have that? Stacy, y'all don't have that, do you? John, would you go see if we have some in the back table and maybe give it to those that are here that don't have it? What I like to do every now, we don't do it every week, but I do like we didn't last week or something, but every now and then we're going to start some new ones tonight. So let me go through this. John, there may not be any. You got next one? At least it didn't have at the back there, just because I've never seen what we're talking about, and we'll get you one. And that. Okay, John, that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. All right, did you find some? Okay. They need one. Okay. Okay, well, I'll be through before you got back, because all I'm going to do is quickly read it. That's all I'm going to do. Okay, let's go into prayer, because, again, if we don't do this in the power of the Holy Spirit, it can become a legalistic list that we use to control ourselves and definitely to control others. All we want to do is see what the Holy Spirit leads in our dealing with one another. When we sin against each other, when we have failed each other, all kinds of things that happen between two people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Christ made the banner of the Christian to love as he loved, to love one another as he loved. It's so difficult sometimes, Heavenly Father, in our dealing with one another. When we're out of the power of the Spirit, we sin, we fail, we let down, we hurt. And then sometimes, Father, when it is the other person who is out of the power of the Spirit, they assume these things, or they sin and they fail and they hurt the believer who is walking in faith. It gets so complicated. And yet, Heavenly Father, our objective is what are we to do in all of these circumstances when another believer does fail us and does sin and all the things that happen in our lives that are brought on by the flesh. We thank you so much, Father, that your Spirit is the one who will guide in all these circumstances, and we thank you that your Word gives us a clue to what we will hear from the Spirit when we are indeed walking by faith in him. Open our eyes tonight that we may see these things and be aware of them in our human relationships and dealing with one another. Father, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, very quickly, what we've done here is we have the one another concept on the left side, and then we have a qualifier on some of them, the opposite. If you didn't do this, how would you deal with somebody? And then the scriptural references. But tonight, let's just read through what some of the things the Holy Spirit will do with us in dealing with one another. Love one another. Serve one another, bear one another's burdens, and these are burdens that are brought on by sin. So when another believer sins, rather than that old adage, well, you made your bed, you lie in it, that's not from Scripture. That's from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's an elementary principle of the world, but not of Scripture, not of the power of the Spirit. Four, recognize that we are members of one another, and that's very powerful. Be devoted to one another. Give preference to one another. Think the same towards one another. Foresee those things which will build up one another. Be of the same mind with one another. And that means the thinking of Jesus Christ, which is, by the way, the thinking of love. Accept one another. Admonish one another. Greet one another, which carries the ideal of an overt manifestation. Wait for one another. Care for one another, be kind to one another, submit to one another, consider one another more important than self. And by the way, you can't do these things in the power of the flesh. These are done in the power of the Spirit. Bear with one another, forgive one another, encourage one another. And then 22 was be at peace with one another. And tonight we start with the 22nd one. Tonight we start with 22. The 22nd exhortation in regard to one another, we are to seek good for one another. This is what we're to do. Somebody hurts you, offends you, whatever it may be, dealing with them, we are to seek good, there's the key, for one another. So, this is the one we're going to look at. If you will, open your text to 1 Thessalonians 5. You'll open your text to 1 Thessalonians 5. And people, I have to remind you, this means husband to wife. This means wife to husband. This means parent to children, and as children grow up, children to parents. This means at work, social life, and certainly in the assembly, to seek good for one another. Now, a lot of these, you'll notice, have somewhat the same idea, just different words for a different shot at it. Build up one another, these kind of things, but this is a different word, so let's take a look at it. Seek good for one another. We are to seek peace. We saw that. Now we are to seek good. We just got through with peace last week. Seek peace for one another, peaceful relationship. Now seek good for one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. Well, there's the antonym. If you're not going to seek good, then the only thing you're going to do is to seek evil. Seek evil with evil, but always, and there's that word again. See how it always creeps up? That little word, always. Always. And we have to ask ourselves, as we did in one of our studies in Galatians 6:1, where if your brother is caught, a brother is caught in any trespass, boy, does it really mean any? Isn't there a priority list here where some sins you catch a believer in, you don't restore them? No. The Holy Spirit knows what the word any means, people. Don't go fooling around. He's not dumb. He doesn't just throw, well, I think I'll throw in an any here, but I don't really mean it. The Holy Spirit who guided that wording. Now, here it says, but always, I don't want to seek their good. They've not sought mine. And that's the fear of the knowledge of good and evil. So, this is why I said, these things are in the power of the Holy Spirit. But always seek after that which is good for one another and for all. That means all unbelievers too. One another, believers, and all unbelievers. And we'll get to the verse in a moment. But don't think, well, what would be good for them is to be dead. So how come? But don't go playing with the word good. We're going to come and take a look at it. But just realize it's not your definition of good. And we're going to have to see what the Bible says is good here. All right. So we're to do good. And if you get the idea of the text, and nearly every one of these we've noted, it's when we don't want to. People, it's easy to see good for somebody when they've done good for you. Somebody does something good for you, you want to do something good for them. That's a piece of cake. Unbelievers do that, Christ says. This is when they've done something to hurt us. And what we want to do is really evil for evil, an eye for an eye type thing. But in the power of the Spirit, what are you going to do? What's He going to lead you to do? He's going to lead you to seek the good. Okay, look at Romans 12. Back to Romans. Romans 12, and let's start reading at 19. Those of you who are taking notes, 19 to 21. Okay, Romans 12, 19. Never take your own revenge. All right, what are we seeing now? In both contexts, we're dealing with somebody has really hurt you and really sinned against you. We're not talking here just when you want to. They have hurt you in reality. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, when will he repay? I love this because there's some hidden things here. You've got to be very careful with that one. Let's see if we come to it and study it in detail, because if we don't, I want to make some comments about it right now. Okay, we're going to. So, now, verse 20. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And spiritually, you take a physical issue here, but we're dealing spiritually. You always got to understand when Christ talked about bread. You know, one of the interesting things in reading with the Gospels with the disciples, the Lord mentions bread. And those dodos, they started, who's got the bread? You got any bread? Did you bring the bread back? I'm not talking about bread to eat, man. I'm talking about the bread that comes out of heaven. Oh, that bread. And he turned right around, and he does it again, talking about bread. Now, do you have any bread? Who brought the bread? Who brought the food? Anybody brought the food? I'm not, guys. I'm not talking about physical bread. I'm talking about spiritual bread. Oh, I'm the bread of heaven. Bread coming down. Where's the bread? I'm not, guys. I'm talking about me. So they're hungry. People don't just look and say, oh, well, they're not hungry. They're okay, so I can walk off and I don't owe them anything. The spiritual thing going on here. Feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him drink. What are the two things of the communion service? Bread and drink. So just pay attention to what's going on. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And verse 21 is very important, because they have sinned against you, but you can be overcome by a greater evil than their sin against you if you don't know how to handle what they've done. They've hurt you. That's not the evil against you. That's not the evil that will overtake you, what they did against you. It's what you do in return. What you do when somebody sins against you determines a great deal here. So we just looked at peace with one another. Now we're looking at the good. They're going to go together, as we're going to see. Now, Scripture, I want to show you. Now, just stay with me. We've looked at peace last week. Be at peace with one another. Pursue those things that make for peace between one another. Peace and good, doing good, often go together. And we're going to work on this. But just turn with me to a couple of passages to show you the strength of this. Look at Psalm 34. Look with me at Psalm 34. Okay, look at verse 14. Depart from evil. Now, what is evil? Evil often is law, people. I just tell you that right now. Because if you hurt me, I'm going to go to law and I'm going to get you. I'm going to go so that I'm standing on solid ground when I execute you, spiritually. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. All I want you to see here is the context is when someone has hurt you, so you start to go to evil, use the law against them, and maybe even sin against them, maybe hurt them in a simple way too. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace. They go together. Okay? Look at Jeremiah 8. Very close to what we'll be getting into on Sunday morning in Jeremiah, but we'll save that little surprise for Sunday. Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah is a powerful book. Powerful prophet. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 15. We waited for peace, but no good came. For a time of healing, but behold, terror. We looked for healing, but we didn't see it. Now, just to help you look here now, we waited for peace, but no good came. So if there's peace, the good will come. And if you look at the last part, we look for peace, and then you have the parallel, healing, peace and healing. Because if there's war or some type of anxiety or anger between two people, that's heal, that's for peace. Then you have the good is parallel with what? Terror. So we have these things working together. All right, Jeremiah chapter 14. Just want you to aware of these things that the Holy Spirit will do and see how they run through the Scriptures. Jeremiah 14. And let's look at verse 19. I want to get on. This isn't just something that happened in one verse. This is very important to God, the relationship of peace and good. Jeremiah 14, verse 19. Hast thou completely rejected Judah, or hast thou loathed Zion? Talking to God. Why hast thou stricken us so that we are beyond healing? We waited for peace, there's those two together, but nothing good came. And for a time of healing, and behold, terror. So he's got to put these two things together. So if we seek peace toward one another in a human relationship with one another, we're going to see that which is good between us and the other person. I just wish again that I hope and pray God will bring us a great number of teenagers, because I have a whole other way of teaching teenagers how to live the Christian life than I've ever had, and that's by understanding spiritual love and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Look with me at Mark, the second gospel, Matthew, Mark, young Mark, real slap in the face to the Apostle Paul's arrogance. Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves. Be at peace with one another. So we're going to look at the very first thing. You won't miss it. What is salt? Salt is good. And then it ends with, be at peace. All I'm showing you is, peace and good work together. So when you have and foresee those things that make for peace between one another, it's combined with seeking the good of that other person. And remember, this is in a context where they have hurt you, offended you, wronged you, sinned against you, whatever words you want to use. And what am I going to do about it? The leading of the Spirit, you will see peace, you will see good for that person. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 11. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. A quote from the Old Testament. And I want to just use this opportunity again to remind you, those of you who have the NASB, that whenever you see this capitalization, that means it comes from the Old Testament, which means that the Old Testament has taught the truth of the spiritual life all the way through, and we saw that in Galatians. So peace and good, that we saw peace last week, this week we see good. Seeking the good. And again, I just want to remind you, seek after that which is good for one another. In all these contexts, it's when things are rough. The emphasis is, of course, not when things are going well. No one has to be, or very few people have to be told. There are some who do. I think children should be taught to say thank you. I think that this is an appropriate thing to teach children, to learn to say thank you and show appreciation. But what we're dealing with here is the emphasis. See, sometimes we're dealing with a very arrogant person. They don't have to say thank you because they deserve whatever you did nice for them. You did something nice for them, and they're not going to do anything nice to you. They're not going to respond at all. They're very arrogant. They just assume this is what I deserve. Well, that's a whole other issue. The point is that with most people, in a spiritual life or not, most people, when you're good, they want to respond to that. They want to do something in return. And it begets that. And so this is the principle. It's when somebody has hurt you, failed you, let you down, offended you. What are we going to do in that emphasis? Okay, let's go for our verse now. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Let's take a look. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. Let's see what we have here. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. What does the Bible say to do when another believer is evil against us? This is where you have to start, people, because what is our first tendency? You were evil against me. You hurt me. You lied to me. You did this to me. Me. What is the idea there? Therefore, I'm justified in doing this to you. That's the idea. You hurt me, so I'm right when I do this to you. That's from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the elementary principles of the world that we saw in Galatians. That's the way man thinks. That's not the way love thinks, the love of God. And remember, all of these things, you have to look at God. What does God do with when we are evil toward Him? Does He repay us with evil? Or did He put His Son on a cross? Does He cleanse and forgive? Does He give good to us? Because people remember that all of these things, we've seen this over, but let me remind you. What's your view of God? When you deal with one another, and this is your ideal of Christianity, what you're saying is, this is my view of God. If your view is that somebody hurts you and you have the right then to do this to them, that's your view of God. If you say, I am right in doing this to this person, I am right in using law against them, I am right in this, they have sinned, they have wrong. That's your view of God. Be careful. Because that is your view of God then. God will get you if you sin against Him. And I'm going to get you when you sin against me. Or is your true view of God when you're in the Spirit, God returns good for evil. Not evil for evil. People, if we could get this through your mind, we're dealing with the study of one another. Here you are, and here's this other believer. Husband, wife, friend, church, work, social life, whatever it may be. But people, please remember, your relationship with them is dependent upon your relationship here first. What is my view of God, my relationship with God, and then that is to come down toward them. How does God deal with me when I sin against Him? What does He do? How does God deal with me? And then I go over, okay, this is in the way I will deal with another believer. So, what are we to do when someone treats us in an evil manner? For an example, the list of transgressions in Galatians chapter 5. Whole long, horrible list, starting with immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, causing factions and trouble, all the things that go on. So, what are we to do? Well, what Scripture says here is, we're always to seek after that which is good for one another. And this is a strong contrast, and that's what I want to get into your mind. Seeking good for evil is a strong contrast with the law. It's a strong contrast. People, the law, please get it in your soul. The law is not designed to return good for evil. It's not designed. The law is designed to smack you when you've done bad. Please think, start thinking in the whole realm of what we studied in the book of Galatians. The law is designed to do that. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is designed to do that. You get what you deserve, and you deserve what you get. That's from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You commit this crime, you get this penalty. You commit this sin, this has got to happen to you.
That's the law. That's thinking in the realm of the law. This is a strong contrast to the law. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Because there's going to be a strong leaning in every one of us. Every one of us. When we're hurt, when somebody has treated us in evil or in a way that we don't like, there is an immediate flesh response. Get even. They don't treat me that way. Get justice. This is why people are going to run after the Antichrist. Because he's going to sound so much like what a lot of people think Jesus Christ sounds like. This is why it's so important you understand spiritual love. The people that will not be deceived by the Antichrist are the people who walk in the Spirit, and spiritual love is flowing them, and they will listen. And those are not the words of spiritual love. They are the words of the law. This is not the Christ. This is not him. Because those are not words of love. They are words of law. And Satan is just setting the world up so clearly right now for things to happen that are given in the Bible as far as prophecy is concerned. He's setting it up. I mean, you can almost imagine that if somebody would come into the White House right now and run on a ticket, boy, we're going back to law and order, and everybody's going to get what they deserve, and if people are wrong, we're going to punish them, and we're going to get this thing straightened out, and we're going to clean up the whole thing, and we're going to have morality, we're going to get back to justice. Christians will run to that person because they don't like all that's going on. They will run to him because that's what they want to hear. You've got to see what's going on in the whole spiritual warfare in this idea of law and love. They sinned against you. In response, we want to make them pay for that. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, people, you're going to do something else. You're going to seek their good. Look what it says now, always. That's a horrible word to throw in there. That's a horrible word. I don't want that word there. I want sometime. I can handle that. Sometime. Let's see what the scripture says. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but sometime or often seek after that which is good. Oh, that sounds a lot better. Because then when I don't want to, I can just say this is one of those cases where law has to work. It's in the scripture. The Holy Spirit put it in there. Always. So when I don't want to return good for evil, what is that a red flag about? It's a red flag about what's going on in me. It's a red flag of where I'm standing. I'm standing in law. I'm standing in the flesh. I'm not standing in the Spirit. And this is why there's a lot of things I'd love to be able to pull together for you, but this ideal of the law and pay revenge, all of that, what is that? That is the immune system to self. Remember that we studied and will continue to look at a lot of these things from the idea of the immune system. And one of the most important things about the immune system, in fact, the fundamental thing you want to remember about the immune system, and I'm talking about of your body, is the identification of self. Because what the immune system is designed to do is anything that is foreign to self, it goes after and wants to get rid of. And that's our immune system. And a breakdown into it, a deficiency, immune system deficiency, what that is this. The body doesn't know self. And it lets in all of the bacteria and all of the diseases that will destroy you. Because it can't identify self. It doesn't have that ability anymore. And so what the immune system is perfectly designed to do is to define. So the flesh loves law because law is like an immune system. I can use that to protect self. What is spiritual love? Spiritual love is an immune system, but to what? To the new man. To the new man. Because you see, people, love isn't offended. Love is not offended. Love handles it. You're not going to break love down by your sin. A person's sin isn't going to break down somebody who is flowing in spiritual love in the Holy Spirit. You think God falls apart every time we sin? Oh, no, he's done it again. God is love. His love isn't going to fall apart. It isn't offended. Love is the immune system of the spiritual man. It protects the spiritual man. So it isn't going to fall apart. So the word always. Is that possible? No, people. It's not only not difficult. It is difficult. We might say, it is difficult to return good for evil. That's difficult. No, people, that's impossible in the flesh. In the power of the Holy Spirit, it's easy. So when somebody hurts us, I thought about what I was getting ready to say, and I could just see how somebody could take this the wrong way. But let me just use this, what I was going to say, but with quotes. That isn't going to work. The point I want to say here is that it's good when somebody really sins against you and hurts you because it's a test on you. Where am I? Where am I spiritually when now that this person has done this to me? What am I going to do? And one of the most beautiful things, people, is when you reach that point, you're walking in the Spirit and you're striving, you're battling in this battle of faith, and what? And one day, somebody does something against you, and you just go right on, and you get a clue, and you went, wow. You know, I did nothing to cause this not to offend me, but I know it was in the power of the Spirit. Wow, this really works. This is really something. And if it can happen in this one little glimpse, man, I'm going to walk in Spirit now. Now my hope is building, the hope of righteousness and the hope of this. And then pretty soon, somebody does a bigger thing. And you do the same thing. And just walk away. Wow. The spiritual life works. Love really does work. Somebody tells you, yeah, but they're getting away with something. Love says, no, they're not. No, they're not. I've left that totally to God. What I'm concerned about is me. What I do when somebody sins against me. I'm not concerned about them except for peace and good. Or what am I going to do if they sin and hurt me? So here's the word always. Does it really mean always? Most Christians sitting in a church environment will say yes. You're sitting here reading the scriptures, it's hard to say no. That's what it says, and you can read that. So reading the scripture, yes, walk out that door and let the test really come, and it's no. No. See, people, you're going to be tested on what you think you believe. You're going to be tested. Just count on it. Oh, this is really cool. I like this. Be careful. Be careful how much you rah-rah. Because God will say, okay, let's see. And before you even get home, you forget all about this verse and are ready to run into somebody on the freeway. And you haven't even gotten home. And you sat here and said, this is good stuff. Boy, this is good stuff. I like it. Amen. And you haven't even got past an hour after class and pow, it doesn't mean always. It means sometimes. It means when I want to. Be careful, that word always. But it means always. Can I always do it? Whenever you're in the Spirit, if you're always in the Spirit, you can always do it. That's my way of answering that question. Can I do it? Get in the Spirit and you can. Get in the power of the third member of the Godhead, the Spirit of the living God, and you can do this. Always. And people, this is against the flesh because let's be honest with ourselves. I don't always want that, though. I don't want to say good for it. They just don't deserve it. Or, as one of my friends says, they don't deserve it today anyway. Maybe tomorrow. But not right now. I just need to cool down. Okay. So, always. I do this always. And yeah, and I'm just emphasizing the word because I don't want you walking out of here and say, yeah, but it didn't mean it in this circumstance. I want to very strongly put into your mind that word always. So do I or do I not believe it means always, and you're going to be tested on that. Okay, always seek after that. NIV, if you have the NIV, it's very weak here. The NIV stands for, sometimes I use it to show you how good, but here it's very weak. It says, but always, and I love the way they've squirmed around it, but always try to be kind to one another. They squirmed around it. They weakened it. Always try. Okay? No, it doesn't have try in there. King James. See that man render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Now, what is interesting is the word Paul is led to use here. I want to show you a word that he's led to use here. In the New American, let's see. But always seek after. I want to show you the word used. This is what. Remember, these things are not things you'll do in the flesh. These are things you'll sense the Holy Spirit leading you to do when somebody immediately does evil to you. Seek after. I've got to spend a few moments here. Seek after. Always, we've looked at now, seek after. It's a present active imperative of Delco. Now, what does that mean to us? The word means to run. To run. It's right out of the lexicon. This isn't me plowing this up. To run after. To chase. To pursue. To press toward. To pursue vigorously. These are just right out of a Greek lexicon. So if you can see it, instead of going after that believer who hurt you, you pursue good. Instead of going after them to get even, you pursue good. You go after that which is good for them. You press hard for good. You press hard. Been working on what we're going to do Easter Sunday. One thing I want you to realize is this. I want you to think about what we're talking about. Husband-wife relationships, friends, local church, all family. Now, let's be honest with each other. Somebody hurts you, and I mean they hurt you, and these people know about it. This believer here has hurt you, and these others know about it. And what you do is you turn around and you seek what is good for them. Let's make no doubt about it, in the John Wayne world we live in, you are going to be looked at as weak. Just chalk it up. You're going to be considered weak. John Wayne, Christian, does not let anybody get away with anything. That's why he's God. You don't fool with him. You'll get shot. Most all of our movies, things that intrigue us today, don't mess with me. Don't get what you deserve. I'm a woman. I'm a man. I'm macho. I'm me. If you mess with me, and you're going to find out who's tough. What is spiritual love? Turn good. You're going to look. I put this word because that's important. You're going to look weak to the world. People, what did Jesus Christ, the entire world hanging on that cross? that's very weak. What did Jesus Christ look like on that cross to the Jews? Very weak and foolish. Why? Because our king would not be treated that way. No real king would be treated that way. If he was really who he claimed to be, he wouldn't take it. He'd come down off that cross and let them Romans have it. Because they don't add on us with those Romans. You're going to look weak, people. So just in the spirit, look what you're going to look like. You're arguing and fighting and dealing with who and what, you know, they were. And Jesus is going to be crucified tomorrow morning, and they're celebrating the Passover supper. And what did he do? They were doing evil toward him, people. They were showing him zero respect. He got down and washed the feet. He could get. What did he look like? He looked weak. You're going to have to change your whole definition, your concept. And I'm sorry to say many of those concepts in the past years I gave from the pulpit as to what it really looks like to walk in Christ. What it really is going to look like to the world. You're going to have to abandon. I'm the husband. I'm a woman. I'm the boss. I'm me. I'm the pastor. You have to walk in the spirit. And you may not like it sometimes. That's why you have to be in the spirit. Because you're going to look weak. I'll just tell you that right up front. That's why I said, if sure you really want to be transformed into the image of Christ. Because on the surface to the world, you're not going to look like much. Spiritual gifts put us at the front. Boy, you know a lot of doctrine, or you have the gift of giving, or you have the gift of prophecy, or you have the gift of something and a service, and boy, you just, man, you look good before the world. But spiritual love may not always look that good. So you just have to be careful. And while it's on my mind, it's in my notes, but, you know, let me just share this with you real quick and how you're going to look. Here you are, here's this believer, and you are seeking, you are pursuing that which is good for them. And do you know what is the most discouraging thing in the world? When they don't even see that's what you're doing, and they don't receive what you're doing. That even makes it tougher. All right, that's it. I tried to do what was good here. You slapped me in the face. That's it, fella. You want to fight? We're going to fight. I tried to be good. I tried for 5 minutes to be good, and you wouldn't let me. You just wanted to resist it. You want to fight? All right. I'm taking off my cloak of the Holy Spirit and putting on my cloak of the flesh, and we're going to have at it. And boy, that's beautiful. That's when it's really tough, when they don't accept the good. Because they're in the flesh. And they don't want that. They want to continue on. So you got to be very careful on all of the things that are going on in this respect. So the word now to seek after is the word to pursue, to go after, to pursue vigorously. You go after that which is good. You press hard for that which is good toward them. And the opposite, again, is to repay evil with evil. But if we just take the opposite of the word, it would describe this believer who has been hurt or sinned against in another way. Not only does it mean that instead of pursuing their good, what you would do is you would defend yourself. You will guard yourself. You will protect yourself. This is the opposite. Those of you who like antonyms, I'm giving you the antonym. Of seeking good. If I don't seek good for somebody else, what am I going to do? I'm going to seek good for myself. I'm going to defend self. I'm going to take care of self. I'm going to justify self. That's the antonym. That's another way of the antonym of this. I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to bring myself into safety. I'm going to remain in a position where they can't do that to me. That's the antonym. So it's got two kinds of flows here. If you follow what I'm saying, you have two flows of the antonym. Or if instead of seeking their good, one, you will seek evil against them, or two, you will seek, I'm going to defend myself, protect myself, and do whatever I have to do. So pursue after that which is good. Okay, not just good, look at the definite article, be good. But always be good, pursue to one another. All right, what is be good? The word is agathos. Agathos. What is the good that God seeks for all men? So how do I do the good when someone has done evil to me, sinned against me, really hurt me? How am I to repay them with good? So in order that you repay evil with good, first you have to realize one important thing. I want to pursue good or do good toward one another when they have hurt me. Now watch. I want to know what that means. How am I going to know what good is? What is the good? Okay? Let's start with our thinking this way. First of all, you want to realize one thing. Only God is good. Only God is good. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I wish we had time to diagnose the verses a little bit, but we don't. And we'll just read it. So let's see what it says. And as he was setting out on a journey, a man came up to him. I'm sorry, verse 17. Thank you, John. Mark chapter 10. Did I say Matthew? I thought I did. Mark. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark 10, 17. And as he was setting out on a journey, you know, I got to thinking of the life of Christ as we think about ourselves. I know that some of you drive a long way to come and worship here. And a lot of you drive a long way maybe to work and all of this. And we are so busy, we consider this a lot of wasted time. Think of all the time that Christ, all the travelings that he did, you know, either walking, mostly walking, but maybe on a mule, but mostly walking. A lot of his life was spent walking. Just walking. That's not wasted time. You can redeem that time. Okay. And as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him, knelt before him, and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Ooh, there is so much here. This is a powerful, fun passage. Why did he call him? Verse 18. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Okay. What did he ask him? How do I inherit eternal life? What's the first thing Christ dealt with? Didn't even answer that question. First thing you want to do was deal with what he called him. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Okay. You got to appreciate everything going on. Dear teacher, the reason that you're in with God, is what he's saying when he does this. The reason you're in with God is because you're good. And I want to be good. What do I do that I can be good like you? Remember a very important passage. Whenever you read the Gospels, you read Christ's reply. If you want to help yourself in reading Christ's reply and understanding Christ's reply so often, why does he answer in that way? Always remember that passage we studied in Ezekiel. I will answer you from the position that you come to me. If you come to me asking for salvation by law, I will answer that. Keep the whole law. That's why he answered the rich young ruler the way he did. What do I do for eternal life? Keep the whole law. Why did he answer? That's not the gospel. But that's where the man came to him from. He came to him from the basis of work. This man is doing the same thing. I want to see why Jesus Christ did what he did. This is very important. This isn't just a, well, let me straighten you out on a few things. I'm very humble, and I'm not good. Only God, no. No. He's dealing with where this man is coming from. I want to be good like you're good so I can be have eternal life. So the first thing I want to deal with you is you're not going to get it by being good. Let's get that very clear. You're not going to get eternal life by being good. There's only one who's good, and that's God. Okay, so this is what he's doing. There is nothing that this creature can do, or any of us can do, good, that was going to get us eternal life. Now, he says, only God is good. And since only God is good, what? For this now, for you and for me now. Getting to us. I want to see good for one another, but only God is good. Doesn't that help to give you a clue now? What you want to seek for the other person? I want to seek for them what comes from God. Because only God is good. So, here I am. Here we are. This is you and myself. Here's this other believer out here. He's hurt us and offended. And what I want to do is seek that which is the good. So what I'm doing, what the Holy Spirit's going to lead me to do, is seek that which is related to God for this person. This will help us to understand. There is nothing that you and I can do to be good. This is going to be coming from God. And only through God, is this good going to come to them. Now turn with me. We've got to keep going on this fast. Turn to me to Galatians 5. We studied Galatians. Here's where you pull in some of the things we studied. Galatians 5, 22. I don't know what the good is that this person needs at that moment. I want to pursue this. Okay. Now, only God is good. Now look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. So, what I'm going to have to realize is this. I'm going to have to be in the power of God the Holy Spirit, his filling of the Spirit, and the good that I want for them, because they have sinned. They have sinned. They have wrongfully hurt me in some way. What do I ultimately want for them? We studied in so many different words. This is another way of wording it. What do I ultimately want for this believer who has hurt me if I seek their good? What is it that I want? I'm sorry? With whom? With God. I want them back in the Spirit-filled life. That is the good for them, people. I want them back into the Spirit-filled life. I don't want law. I don't want revenge. What I want is, and what I desire, and what you will desire when you're walking in the Spirit, I want their relationship with the Spirit to be in order because I happen to know something. Now we get to, we call it a little self-interest. I know that if they, when they hurt me, when they sinned against me, they were in the flesh. And I know that if they are in the Spirit-filled life, what is going to come toward me is spiritual love toward me from them. So people, in the final analysis, this is going to come back to good for you. Seeking to hurt them, seeking to revenge on them, seeking to keep them further and further away and down and hurt by law is not going to do you any good spiritually. If you want good coming to you spiritually, you want them in the spiritual life because what will flow from them towards you? The love of God. spiritual love will come toward you. You will be the recipient of love if you get them into the spiritual life. Closing example. This is a case picture. Husband comes home. Whatever's happened at work, he's angry. Can't take it out at work, get fired. Can't take it out at work because you don't want to look bad in front of your employees and your other fellow people that you work with. But boy, there is one person you can take it out on. And it'll be in private, nobody will know. In fact, that's what she's there for, isn't it? So, here's the wife. So you come home and take it out on her. What does she desire? Love is what I desire, and what I got was his wrath, his anger that's going on inside. And what would a smart, and by smart I mean spiritually smart, what would a smart woman do? Forget all this other stuff. Forget about what he said to her. Forget about her cooking that was just given an editorial about. Forget about the editorial on how she's sleeping in the house. Forget all of that. Don't retaliate. Don't do all of that. If you want this coming from him, get him into the spirit-filled life. And then what will come from him to the power of the Spirit is love towards you, and guess he's happy now. You. Because now you're receiving spiritual love from him. And the only way you're going to receive spiritual love from him is to do for him the good. And what is the good? Get back into spiritual life. What's it going to take? The leading of the Holy Spirit is going to tell every one of us. Sometimes it'll be a gentle word. Sometimes it'll just be, just sit there, be there. It's all kinds of different things it'll do. Sometimes a gentle conversation. Sometimes moving into a direct conversation about the Holy Spirit and where they are with the Holy Spirit. Just so many different ways of wording it, but in the power of the Spirit, he seeks after the good. He pursues the good. In our example, he pursues it. Say, forget all that other stuff. Forget what he said. Forget what he did. Forget it. He even hit her. Forget it. I seek the good. I desire this coming from him. Seek the good. Pursue it. Get back into the spiritual life. And when he takes the responsibility, repents, and then repairs by faith in the Holy Spirit, back into the Holy Spirit, spiritual love comes out, and guess what? You're benefited by it, people. This happens. She retaliates, runs home to mom, slams the door, throws the food on the floor, on and on and on. She's not going to get this in return. Seeks revenge. So that night, you sleep on the couch, throws his pillow out in the hall. On and on and on. Not going to get that. But this is what you want from this other person. You seek the good for them. Now, this isn't our objective here. I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm just showing you how this whole scenario is going to pan out. Ultimately, what we want is, I don't want this man that I love in the flesh. I want him in the Holy Spirit. That's what I want. I want my friend. I want this person in the spirit-filled life because I know when they're in the spirit-filled life, all that the Holy Spirit has for them is going to flow out from them. And that's what I want. That is the good that I ultimately want for them. Different things and different trains are going to, are ways of getting and talking and dealing with them are going to work here under the leading of the Spirit. We're not going to put out a list of what you do in each case. Now, walk in the Spirit, but know my objective. My objective is be good. Be good is God, for only God is good. Goodness comes from the Holy Spirit. Boom. I want them back under the power of the Spirit. That's seeking their good. That's the best thing that you can do for someone who has hurt you is to seek their good. Pursue the good for them, not the hurt, not the revenge people, not the get even. because there is such inner happiness, there is such peace inside. Joy is the best one, to see this person transformed right before your eyes back into the spirit of their life. People, understand, you don't get those things by revenge. The flesh just feels better. But there's no inner joy there. There's no real happiness there. The flesh isn't real. Only when you see this transformation to the good take place in this person, do you start getting a real joy. And you have not gotten revenge because you don't even want it. You've not gotten even because you don't even want it. What you got was something far superior. They're back into the spirit of their life, and boy, there's a happiness about that. A real joy. Only people under law are happy when another believer is put down or scrapped or disciplined or kicked around, and you find real happiness. You can tell that type of person is totally lost. But a person who's walking in the spirit, the greatest joy is when another believer gets back into the spirit of their life. There's a real joy there. Seek their good. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're taken on this journey tonight by your Spirit in dealing with one another, how your Spirit will lead us in dealing with one another. And lo and behold, once again, Father, what we've really learned is what an awesome God you are, because this is what you seek from us when we stand against you, is the good, the restoration, reconciliation, cleansing, back into fellowship and in your service. We learn about you. And we desire, Heavenly Father, in the power of the Spirit, to become an imitator of you. That the Spirit will so cause this to become part of our profile, our personality, to seek good when others have hurt us. We know it won't look good before the world often, but we've moved to that point where we don't care about the world and what they're going to see. We care, Heavenly Father, about what you see, what angels observe. Father, we praise you for the God you are. In your Son's precious name, amen.